Jamie Locker with you here on this Wednesday afternoon. Sports on the television tonight. You got the Blue Jays against Atlanta, the best team in baseball. The Atlanta Braves beat the Jays 4-3 last night, so a three-game
losing streak.
They
kept it close.
Three-game losing streak hasn't helped.
No,
all of a sudden, but and taking on Atlanta,
they did split the series with the Orioles. They're in Atlanta too, right?
The NBA Finals going on tonight. Game number one, Victor Wembanyama and the Spurs. The young 22-year-old superstar, the giant from France at 7'4", who can hit three-pointers. He's a phenom if you want to watch him tonight, 6:30 start time against the New York Knicks. But right now, it's Wednesday. It's 5 o'clock. You know what that means.
Double Take with Daryl Davis.
It's a Double Take with Double D, Daryl Davis. Well, we haven't talked to you since Cutdown Day.
Oh. Is anybody talking about Cutdown Day?
Nope.
Nope. They just make the cuts, make the announcements, and disappear. And then, yeah. Oh, by the way, here's last year's Grey Cup ring. Shiny baubles.
There you go.
Nice. How fun is that, right? Nobody talks about what they did, why they kept...
Well, I was curious, would Mario Anderson, Benny Sapp, and Mirko be at that ring ceremony or not? They're in town, you'd assume.
Hand them a ring and say, have lunch on us too, on dinner on Delta, right? And away you go. The one that surprised me more than anything was Hale over Kim at Kicker, right? I guess it's because they need global guys as opposed to Americans, and they're probably just as easy to find, but... You know, there were some surprising cuts, and I think the Rough Riders shouldn't just walk away. They should make somebody available. Like the head coach or the general manager should come out and say, here are the decisions we made, and here's why we made the decisions. Not to the media, but because the media gets asked the questions and presented to the fans, because the fans are wondering the same thing. But now the fans are distracted because those are nice rings, aren't they?
They are.
They're very nice. I thought the rings were amazing. No?
See? It worked.
Well, exactly. They are very nice.
Well, they got me.
They got everybody, I think, right? So, I don't know. Let's talk basketball and hockey instead.
Not yet. Don't get ahead of me, Daryl. Come on. But with Braden Schager and Jack Cohn and Tommy Stevens, that's a quality QB room. But how fearful is it if Trevor Harris were to get hurt?
Mm-hmm.
And a lot of people say the inevitability that a guy who's turning 40 or just turned 40, might get hurt.
Yeah, he had a healthy year last year, and that's a lot of the reason why they won a Grey Cup. He had a great year, and we hope he stays healthy all the time, right? The way he's playing and the way they've strengthened their offensive line should lend itself to him being healthy for the whole season. But you need a backup quarterback, and most teams in this league don't have it's a real step down to their backup quarterback. And right now, the Rough Riders, after last year, Jake Mayer, not that he was outstanding, but he could step in and you had confidence in him. Do you, as a fan, as a player, as a administrator at the Rough Riders, or even us in the media, think that Jack Cohn can step in and lead this team to a playoff berth if Trevor Harris is out? I don't know. I don't think so. But, you know, we've been proven wrong before. I guess he certainly could be better than he showed in the preseason, and maybe he just needs playing time. So
I think it's fairly obvious that they saw enough in Schager to want to make sure that they keep him around.
Yeah. Right? He's 23, though, Locker, so they're not going to throw him into the fire yet, I don't
know. No, but they also have question marks about Jack as well.
Of course.
Clearly, or they would have... You know, maybe signed off on it.
And they're not going to use Tommy Stevens. He's the best short yardage quarterback in the league, but you know, when he runs the offense, it just doesn't have a real crackle to it, does it? So he's good at what he does, and I like the fact that they keep him in a couple plays and they have a couple of varieties for him.
Yeah.
But I don't think he's the answer as the backup quarterback.
Okay, it was the CFL Top 50 announcement last night. Nathan Rourke, number one. Bo Levi Mitchell, number two. And his favorite target, Kenny Lawler, number three. Any surprises for you, Daryl?
Not really. It's kind of funny to see that Trevor Harris is the highest rated Rough Rider at seven.
Eight.
Right. Eight. Okay. Eight. Yeah. There's some
big jump from 24 last year.
Yeah. You know, the Grey Cup champions don't have anybody in the top five or six. That's kind of interesting to me, but I don't know. I think that they have some pretty solid players. You know,
there was some Roland Milligan out of the top 10 and Tyrese Beverett ahead of him.
Mm-hmm.
I was like, what?
Yeah. Some weird ones, but you know, it's the media voting. So what do we know?
Isn't always weird. Like, isn't this list always?
Yeah, that's what it's supposed to do. Yeah. Locker, it gets us talking about it, right? It's a great time to do it. You know, there's so many people say, oh, Nathan Rourke, well, what type of, he had a pretty good year, right? He's.
Trevor Harris did get one first place vote, though, Daryl.
Okay. Was that yours?
No.
Okay.
I don't know. The majority.
Mm-hmm.
With Nathan Rourke. Nathan Rourke got 25.
Yeah.
Davis Alexander got 2, and Trevor Harris got 1.
And Davis ended up at number 9.
Yeah.
That's a first place vote for Davis Alexander baffles me.
Mm-hmm. He could be one of the best ever, but he's never healthy, right?
Exactly.
So, like, he's got a 1,000 winning percentage as a starter in regular season in the Canadian Football League.
Yeah.
He's never lost a game that he started in the regular season.
But it's 11.
I know.
Split over, what, 2 years?
Yeah, but he's the inspirational leader, and who knows? Maybe next year, he's the number one guy, right?
Yes.
It's amazing. Bo Levi Mitchell, how many years ago did we write him off and say, oh, that deer in Hamilton, he's done, and he's still hanging in and doing a pretty decent job. So, you know, it's fun to look at the lists, and it's always fun to see who's been left off and why aren't there more kickers on it. Just kidding.
We have to put a kicker on it.
I know you do. Yeah.
But everybody probably puts them 40th on their ballot. And that only gets them 1 point.
Everyone.
You have to, yeah. So.
No, everyone puts them at 40, or is that just you?
I would hope everybody puts the kicker at 40.
Stop.
Unless a kicker goes like 40 for 40.
Sean White's pretty close to the
Like Lewis Ward did it 1 year.
Yeah, he was top 10.
Did you just put your kicker at last when you were doing these?
Yeah.
Like, I can't put a kick. Like, I'm not going to leave. I have to leave a running back, a star running back off the list. Sorry. I'm not putting the kicker above that person. So, anyways.
Kickers, and hopefully the new rules mean kickers are even less important in this league. I'm really hoping that that's what this evolves
to. Okay.
Coming up, Daryl Davis wants to clearly talk about basketball and hockey instead, so we're going to dig into that next with a double take with Daryl Davis on 980 CJME and 650 CKOM. Well, we continue on a Wednesday with Daryl Davis and a double take. Which series intrigues you most, Daryl Davis?
I'm still a hockey fan first and foremost. Although that's going to be a pretty interesting NBA series. Wembanyama might be the most in years. We might be saying he's the most dominant, best basketball player we've ever seen in the NBA. You know, I think he has the ability to surpass Jordan and all the greats.
Wow!
Yeah, really?
Just the things he can do. He can do everything, right? Maybe he's not quite as electric, but he can do everything. He's a big power forward who dominates under the hoop and can shoot three-pointers with the best in the world. I just think that he's so capable. He's 22 years old.
Yeah.
And already he's the major person in the finals. So watching him is a real treat.
What does he say? He's 6'8"?
7'4".
Yeah.
7'4". Why did I think he was still in the 6 foot?
That's LeBron.
That's okay. So who... We were talking to somebody yesterday that said, take his height away. He's just an average basketball player. And we were like, I don't know about that.
He might not be as dominant under the boards, but he still does so many things. That 3-point shot, how many 3-point? Dirk Nowitzki used to shoot as well, maybe as a 3-pointer, but there aren't many guys that size who used to shoot that well from the
Remember Shaq? He couldn't shoot anywhere from beyond 5 feet of the net.
That's why they all fouled him, because he never made his foul shots, right? So Wemby makes his foul shots. He's a treat, and he's mean, right? Already, he doesn't get pushed around out there. He fights back. He's the enforcer on that team. They could be strong for a long, long time with him around.
He put some weight on because he looks a little less gangly, right?
Yeah.
So
they do
year,
when they get
maybe.
To the pros locker, right?
Yeah.
Even hockey players and football players, you see them, they're bulking up. They know how to lift then.
It's an age thing, too.
Yeah, there's
more
mass.
Your body starts to.
Oh, that's what happened. Okay.
I think what you and I are dealing with might be a little different, Daryl.
It's not the weights?
No.
Okay.
It's the weight. Beer.
But that's an intriguing one, but I'm still a hockey guy. And surprising that the despised Vegas Golden Knights, they didn't wear their uglier uniforms. The white ones are passable, but the gold will be coming back. So I'm just saying in case Wheels is listening. But good for them coming back. I don't know. They're a solid team. I'm still thinking Carolina's going to come back. But what is it? 76% of the teams that win the first game win the Stanley Cup.
But if you break it down based on away versus home, so if you're the home team and you win, it's like in the 80s.
Okay.
If you're the away team and you win the first game, it's, you know, it's just below 60%.
Oh, okay. That's
so it works out to 76
or
75.
So there's still hope.
Still hope for Carolina?
That's what I'm hanging my hat on. As soon as I heard that stat, I was like, put that one in the bank.
You know, if it, let's see, Kelly McCrimmon or Rod Brind'Amour, who would you cheer for if you had, if you wanted to sit down and visit with one of those guys?
I don't know. I've never... You've been around Kelly a lot more than I have.
Kelly McCrimmon a long time. I don't like Kelly McCrimmon much on the ice, man. Like he's what he's done has been amazing in that franchise. Good for him, but I don't like the way it's always done. Rod Brind'Amour, I just like the way he operates. He was a great player at Notre Dame.
Did you ever ref him in Notre
Brind'Amour?
Dame?
I think he's a little just after me, probably. Maybe somewhere along the line. He might have been a punk kid when he was reffing and when he was playing, I was just finishing off. So
okay.
Yeah. So, but I just like Brind'Amour. And you know, his team plays like him. They don't bitch. They don't complain. They just play hard. And to lose one, well, they usually bounce back from that, don't they?
Absolutely. Do like your comment. I think you can still be aggressive and you can still be a winning franchise and you can still do things properly and morally. I think I'll say that.
Who's the ESPN commentator? She got totally destroyed by the critics saying, is same discussion you guys just had. Is Vegas the most despised team ever in the National Hockey League? And the fans are just going bonkers about it. How can ESPN allow that? Well, aren't you supposed to have an opinion?
An opinion.
But they're the home broadcaster. You're not allowed to have an opinion.
Yeah, you can have an opinion. Yeah,
they might be the most hated sports franchise in sports.
More than the Raiders?
Yeah, I think they're up there.
Who hates the Raiders
anymore?
Well,
not now, but they were for a long time, Jamie. Now Al Davis on them?
Now it's the Chiefs because Taylor Swift goes to games.
Yeah, but it used to be the Raiders, right? When Al Davis owned them and it was Raider Nation.
Okay. Yankees are in there in the conversation. Mm-hmm. The Dodgers
Dodgers
now.
Are growing, too. They're wrecking baseball.
Yeah.
But would you hire John Tortorella? It's a conversation we're having on the Green Zone.
Yeah, to be a co-host down here? Yes, absolutely. Oh, is that what you're asking?
No, as a coach.
Oh, it's a coach. We all like Torts, don't we? He has his ups and his downs, but he's
always
character.
As a permanent coach.
I can't believe that Vegas didn't sign him through the next year. Boy, is he in the driver's seat, isn't he?
Yeah.
Yeah, and he's probably getting bonuses for every round he wins. So, yeah, man.
Toronto, Edmonton, maybe that's what's taking so long. They're waiting for Torts to be done.
That's Vegas. They'll find a way of messing with him.
Well, who's Toronto? Yeah, Toronto needs somebody. Torts in Toronto. Oh, my goodness. That's
that
beautiful.
Be
Wouldn't that be a blast? Oh, yeah. That's better than Patrick Waugh.
But before you go, Daryl, CFL season kicks off tomorrow. Who's going to win the Grey Cup in 2026?
Well, who the power ratings pick?
I think it was BC.
No, they pick Saskatchewan because the Grey Cup champs are always at the top, right? I think that they've kept, even though of the 45 guys who played in the Grey Cup game, only 29 are back, right? That's a huge turnover. But I think you have to turn over part of the team. And I think the core of the team is still there. I still think they're the best team in the Canadian Football League.
There you have it. Daryl and Britton Gray, as you heard on the Blitz podcast, both picking the Rough Riders to repeat in 20. Oh, I swore.
Oh, gee. Uh-oh.
I said repeat.
Now they're not going to talk to us for a week. Oh, they aren't already.
Have a good trip, Daryl.
See you guys.
And we'll talk to Daryl next week leading into the opener for the Riders. Jamie Walker with you on the Green Zone on this Wednesday afternoon. You can go check out a report. Green Zone SK retweeted my tweet about Quebec City and the CFL. A host in Quebec City on the radio.
Interesting.
Was talking about investment, looking at a $350 million build for a 25,000-seat stadium. And his sources are telling him that the University of Laval has been approached about sharing this facility, and there is interest there. Of course, a lot of the speculation about a CFL expansion team to Quebec City was, Laval's not going to like that because they own the football market. But if they embrace it, share a facility, those types of things, maybe that could work.
That makes sense to you, doesn't it?
And you'd have more Vanier Cups out there.
Right?
I would think so. 10th franchise. But in the meantime, they also said a partnership could be in the works with this deal before the stadium gets built of actually having like a temporary 15,000 seat, something like that, at the current facility for Laval.
Okay.
So that could be.
They are a little bit football crazy out there. So that makes sense. That makes more sense than Halifax.
The Rouge or are a monster when it comes to football in Quebec. So that story was reported out of a Quebec City radio station yesterday. We retweeted the story. You're going to, if you don't know French, you're going to have to go to the website and then, you know, click the little thing at the top that translates it all for you to read that report. But we talk hockey here on the Green Zone. Stanley Cup final. Drew Remenda is our NHL analyst and had a chat with him and what he saw play out last night with Vegas's 5-4 win over Carolina in game one.
Well, I thought the interesting part as the game started, obviously, was the quick start by the Carolina Hurricanes and the Nikolai Ehlers. But at the same time, and you guys have already talked about that, the TV timeout, John Tortorella talks to his guys. And it's a very upbeat talk. It's just a simple fact of, guys, we know how we have to play against this team, and East-West isn't the way to go. Got to be direct. You got to get pucks behind. The thing that really struck me, though, that even though they were down 2-0, they didn't get panicked. They didn't play sloppy. They just were making mistakes. And the game came down to basically, if you turn the puck over at the wrong time, it was going to cost you. If you lost your man, it was going to cost you. If you, those little details that matter in a game showed up last night. Because both teams really kind of play the same way as far as how much pressure they want to bring on the opposition team. And Rod Brind'Amour said it after the game that they didn't handle the pressure well. And sometimes even when there wasn't pressure, they didn't handle it well or manage the puck very well, and it cost them. The other aspect of the game that is very interesting for me to watch is how little that Aho, Svechnikov, and Jarvis have contributed to this playoffs. That's a $25 million line. Mm-hmm. And I think Svechnikov's got 3 goals and he got a couple empty netters. Aho's got 4 goals. And this is in the entire playoffs. And Jarvis has got 3 goals. And last night after the game, Rod Brind'Amour said the team definitely needs more from him. They had one good shift basically near the end of the game. The other aspect is the fact that he doesn't want to mix up that line because try to get it going with substituting guys in and guys out and moving lines around, because those other 3 lines, these guys playing pretty well. The other aspect is how damn good was Braden McNabb last night?
Whew. The offensive powerhouse, 3 assists.
From the get-go, he was the best player on the ice last night. And that's what we're seeing. You look at the guys who scored for the Vegas Golden Knights. Wasn't Eichel, wasn't Stone. Hurdle got the one. It's an interesting story about Hurdle, too, we can get to. But they got scoring from unlikely suspects, unusual suspects, like they did against the Colorado Avalanche.
The one thing that surprised me about last night's game was, and you kind of nailed it, you got 2 teams that play, you know, not the exact same structure, but they play similarly defensive, where they're hard on the forecheck, and you probably give the advantage to Vegas as far as offensive power. But what surprised me was how much on both ends of the ice the middle of the ice opened up, where you didn't see that at all when the Hurricanes were playing, you know, to get here. Outside of a couple of periods or shifts, man, they kept those teams to the outside. But both teams last night managed to crack that defensive structure and get to the net.
Well, defensively, in the defensive zone, they play 2 different ways. The Hurricanes play a man-on-man. They always have with Rod Brind'Amour, and man-on-man costs them in the Hurdle goal. Because Gostisbehere, and he said it after the game, Shane Gostisbehere said, I took a step. I took a minute. I took a second to relax. And Hurdle, because you're playing man-on-man, Gostisbehere's got Hurdle. And Hurdle got to the middle of the ice with a step, and Gostisbehere wasn't there. The Vegas Golden Knights play more of a system where they're going to protect the middle, and they do that kind of, it's kind of a hybrid zone man-on-man. A lot of the teams last few years played that zone where you release a guy to another defender, and you keep players to the outside, but you spend too much time in your zone when that happens. So So Vegas plays more in the middle with the centerman doing a lot of the work, but when one guy goes, they all go. But they still manage to make sure they take care of the middle of the ice, and that's one of the reasons that Vegas was so good against Colorado. Mm-hmm. And how you penetrate that, you've got to be working off the puck. But unfortunately, against the Vegas Golden Knights, they're so big, they're so strong, they're so heavy, and they are committed defensively. They block a ton of shots. Look at Mitch Marner's block, which is actually, he tried to get the hell out of the way. He didn't want that puck to hit him, and he ends up blocking the shot at the end of the game. You know, so that's what they do. They get in the middle of the ice.
So, Drew Remender, were you one of the Zoom interviews for John Chayka of the 15? Seems a little high.
I was actually, I heard you guys earlier, and I was actually the 50th interview that Locker was talking about.
When he came into the meeting and said 50, I'm like, that can't be right. I'm like, Locker, 15.
But, well, it's Chayka. We don't know. He's a complete wild card. He could be interviewing like guys just around the corner. It's like somebody he saw like in the Tim Hortons lineup. Like, I mean, that's honestly, for a moment, I was like, yeah, that tracks 50. Of course, he's interviewing 50 people.
Yeah,
there's plus the dude by Zoom, so you know. It's. I guess you can cast as wide a net as possible. But a lot of times, those general managers and hockey staff will, in these interviews, talk to a lot of people just to get ideas of what they think from the outside about the Toronto Maple Leafs, what they see and what their ideas would be. And they have those interviews for the simple purpose of gaining information more than really identifying a candidate who could be the next head coach. I think their head coach list is very short, but their information net that they're trying to cast is very large.
Scotty, the producer, made a good point. He was like, maybe he just wants to seem like he's busy.
Yeah.
Just wants to give off the
idle hands do the devil's work. What can I tell you?
Keith Pelly walking by. Oh, doing another Zoom interview. Oh, he's hard at work.
Man, I hired the right guy.
But John Tortorella.
Yes. You guys and John Tortorella make me laugh.
I'm fascinated.
He's on his way to Toronto.
Or Edmonton. Or do they keep him in Vegas? Is he the right? This fascinates me because I thought Torts was done. And here he is, three wins away from the Stanley Cup, and he's unemployed for next year. So then what?
Well, if he wins the Stanley Cup, I don't even think if he wins the Stanley Cup. He has certainly thrown a different he's thrown a curveball at Kelly McCrimmon and George McPhee and Mr. Foley, without a doubt. Because he was definitely 100%, and it's still intact, that he was hired very short-term to help this team get as far as they can in the playoffs. I think I think everybody would agree he's probably exceeded expectations. Now, the interesting thing about John is the average lifespan of a hockey coach nowadays in the National Hockey League is about 2.5 years. John's average lifespan as a hockey coach in the National Hockey League is 4 or 4.5. He has been with everybody for actually quite a good period of time, with the exception of the Vancouver Canucks, in which you guys talked about it. That was 82 games. But with John Tortorella, he's said this in interviews before. He believes his calling in life was to be coaching professional hockey. And you guys talk about the chaos around John. There's not really a lot of chaos around John. John is, as I said before, one of the most misunderstood and misconstrued coaches in the net, but people that you're ever going to meet. Yes, he has his run-ins with the media. You know why? Because he protects his players from the media. That's why he does it. So all the attention goes to him. And so he has those run-ins because he protects his players from the media. The other aspect is when you talk to media people who've actually got a chance to know John, we talk like I do about John in glowing terms because he's an exceptional human being with an exceptional family. And then the work he does with animals is something to be commended on. Gandhi once said that you can judge a society by the way it treats its animals, and John is a great judgment or a great example of what a great, terrific human being he is. Now, on the coaching aspect of it, it's going to be up to John more than anybody. But if you're looking at a good position to be in and where to go and what to be, what organization you'd like to go to, and what best suits John, I think Vegas is the best place for him. Because John in Philadelphia, if you remember, when they were rebuilding and trying to get things going, remember that one statement he made, guys, when he talked about, this is a very unusual position for me, talking about rebuilding and not putting the right team on the ice because you're trying to get the right draft pick and blah, 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 and all the things that go into trying to coach and a rebuilding team. He talked about how different of a position this is for him and the way he thinks in the game. Vegas is his best fit, period. End of discussion.
That is our NHL analyst, Drew Romenda. He'll be back Friday to hash out what happens in Game 2 of the Stanley Cup Final. Coming up next, a special champ, friend of the show, had quite the honor today when it comes to hockey history. That's next on Champs and Chumps on 980 CJME and 650 CKOM.
You two are winners.
I think you're shagadelic, baby. You're switched on. You're smashing.
You tried your best, and you failed miserably.
The only thing I'm addicted to right now is winning.
You're an idiot.
You're a bad person.
Each and every day at Champs and Chumps here on the Green Zone, the chump goes to Eric Staal, brother of Jordan Staal of the Carolina Hurricanes.
I didn't catch this last night. This was very subtle.
So there's a few fails on his... He did the siren last night.
Yeah, yeah.
He started early. Apparently he...
He jumped the gun.
He jumped the gun. Then he fumbled the siren.
Yeah.
Like he was going, and then it slipped out of his hand, and then he had to catch it again and keep going. So it wasn't a perfect night. But I don't think many people caught this unless you're in the know. But you gotta be careful on what you're wearing as the hat. How did he not have a Canes hat, by the way?
What are you doing?
The hat he was wearing is the logo of a Las Vegas golf club.
Dummy.
Known as the...
It's Staal's fault.
He's repping a Vegas golf course hat?
Jinxed your brother, Eric.
When his brother's playing the Vegas Golden Knights.
Brutal.
Whose side is he actually?
Brutal.
By the way, he was on, I think it was Overdrive or one of the shows yesterday, too, and he was still wearing the same hat.
He likes the hat.
He was just wearing that hat all day. Probably just played golf there a couple of days ago, got a hat and liked it and didn't even realize. But come on. Wearing a Vegas golf course hat while your brother's playing the Vegas Golden Knights?
Yeah.
That's a chump.
Yeah,
that's a chump right there.
That's a really good. That's one of the better chumps we've had in a while.
Our champ today, good friend of the show, Chris Cuthbert, was announced as the recipient of the Foster Hewitt Memorial Award. That is the Hockey Hall of Fame Broadcasting Trophy. So, Chris, congratulations. Of course, a great voice of the Canadian Football League for years and an amazing voice from his early days in hockey. Of course, called the 2010 Olympics and the Golden Goal, three-time Gemini, two-time Canadian Screen Awards for his work. And I looked into it, and I actually texted Chris today and congratulations. And then I texted, I don't know if you realize this, but in my research, he is one of two people to be in the Canadian Football Hall of Fame and the Hockey Hall of Fame for broadcasting.
Cool.
The other is Wes McKnight, who he called Toronto Maple Leaf games, I think, in like the 40s and early football radio in Toronto.
He's the only guy?
So he's one of two.
One of two, I should say, yeah.
That's in the Canadian Football Hall of Fame and now the Hockey Hall of Fame with the Foster Hewitt Memorial Trophy. So
well
congratulations.
Deserved. He's a legend.
To Chris Cuthbert, our champ today.